I would like to start this episode not with a joke, as I usually do, but with a plea. Dear Phil Swift, please don't sue me. Please don't sue me. Oh my God.
Let's go!
Everyone, and welcome back to Plumber Bummer. This is our second episode, and I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited that you decided to tune in. If you are watching this in real time as these episodes come out, you will notice that this episode is a few days late. Usually these come out on Fridays. This one is dropping on a Tuesday. And you would have known ahead of time that this episode was going to be late if you followed me on Twitter at BummerPod, always be plugging. I am actually home for this week, and it was a wild time, last week and this weekend, trying to get everything together, coming home, spending time with family, so, I apologize that this episode is late. However, it won't affect the schedule going forward. This episode will be dropping on Tuesday, and the next episode will be dropping this Friday, so I, will be recording twice this week, because I promised. And I keep my promises. I won't miss a week, except I guess I did miss last week. I'm uploading, so it's fine. Please forgive me, but I don't anticipate something like this happening again. And if it does, definitely not regularly. It was just a weird week. It was also my birthday on Sunday. I'm a year older. I did do the math, and I will have two birthdays during the run of this podcast, including the one that just passed this week, which is wild. I will, by the end of this, have been three different ages. Buh, okay. God, what have I signed up for? You may also be able to hear in my voice that I am still kind of sick. Definitely not as bad as last week. Listening back to last week's episode, I sounded truly terrible. I'm a little bit better, but I'm still a bit under the weather. It's hard not to believe that this podcast has hexed me in some way, and that I'm now just cursed to always be sick while I'm recording this. And that might be the case, which, let me tell you, if I am sick for the next 60 weeks of my life, what a fun time that will be. If you're new and you're listening back, I don't know why you started with the second episode, but what we do here is, every week I watch the 1993 Super Mario Brothers movie starring Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo. I report back. I talk about it. Maybe I record my mental breakdowns as I continue to watch this movie every week for the next year and then some. But it's a really fun time, and I can't thank you enough for joining us in this second episode. Again, the first one's right there. I appreciate you either way. I've said before, this podcast is as much about Super Mario Bros. 1993 as it is about the new animated Mario dropping next year, which will of course mark the end of this gauntlet that I've put myself through. And I was really excited this week to talk about some of the new things that were happening with the Mario movie, but there are new announcements. I am anxious to hear news of this movie. It's the Civil War. And it's my husband, and the Battle of Gettysburg has just happened, and I'm sitting at home and wearing all black just in case, and the messenger's coming, but there's no messenger! I want news about this movie! I can only assume that they are keeping this news from us because the world is still reeling from the cast list announcement. If you haven't decided to drop in on this, the second episode of the show, and did listen to the first episode, then you would know that last week, I decided to try to recap the entire plot of Super Mario Brothers from memory while sick. It didn't go well. It did. I covered the basics. However, there was a lot that I left out because so much happens in this movie that I simply could not remember at all. And this week, we are flex taping the memory boat. And this is again where I would like to call on Phil Swift. Hi, Phil. Listen, I'm a huge fan of your stuff, man. Please don't sue me for the title of this episode. I just thought it'd be funny. I am not being paid by the Flex Seal company. I just like the Flex Tape commercial where he saws a boat in half. I just like it. I think it's funny. I really tried to research legally what I could name this episode, and it didn't say I couldn't call it Flex Taping the Memory Boat, so that's what we're doing. You know, if in the future the title is something like Caulking the Memory Wagon, you'll know why. Phil Swift, please be cool. So, this week, I sat down and I took notes while watching the movie. And I will be reading from those notes as I again describe the plot of Super Mario Brothers. So if you did miss that first episode, hi, welcome in. Feel free to hang around and listen while I describe the plot of this bonkers movie to you today. And I would again like to reiterate, you don't need to watch Super Mario Brothers to listen to and enjoy this show. In fact, I think it will be so much funnier if you don't watch it. Just don't watch it. It's a lot to take in. It will destroy you somewhat, and also, I'm here telling you what happens in it. There's no need to go watch this movie. If you want to, you're more than welcome to. You can experience what I've experienced. But if you don't have to. It's not a requirement. There are no prerequisites for listening to Plumber Mummer aside from having an open mind and being willing to have a super fun time. Okay, so this movie opens with this pixelated jungle, as this man with an incredibly thick Brooklyn accent explains the premise, which I talked about last week, which is that the meteor that killed the dinosaurs split the universe into parallel timelines, and in one such timeline, the dinosaurs lived and then continued to evolve. You'll notice I'm not freaking out about this because I've had a couple weeks to process it now. It's still crazy, but I'm slowly accepting it. I also do want to point out, I do like the aesthetic of this opening sequence. I think it's cute that it's kind of like video gamey and pixel art. However, at one point the dinosaurs talk, and they too have Brooklyn accents. Why? Why did they do that? I bet you didn't think that the dinosaurs were from New York. But they are, and they are recognizably so, by the way that they speak. It is comical how much these dinosaurs sound like they're from New York, and I can only assume that they did this to drive home the point that this is Dino Brooklyn. The dinosaurs run this city. King of the Jungle? Lion, move over. It's the Stegosaurus now. We then see a cheesy-ass title card that says Super Mario Bros., and hey, I just want to point out, I think title cards in movies should come back. I love when a movie has a good title card. Are you kidding? It's just, it's so fun. It's so nice. I want to be reminded of what movie I'm watching 2 minutes into watching it. I want them to be like, oh, did you, this dinosaur movie? It's Super Mario Brothers. It's fantastic. I love catching a movie on TV. Genuinely. This is not me being sarcastic at all. I love catching a movie on TV. And being like, what the fuck movie is this? And then they show the title card and I'm like, oh, it's Casper 1995. We then flash forward to Brooklyn as it was 20 years ago, which I guess 20 years ago by 1993 soon. It's Brooklyn 1973. There's a woman who is holding what looks to be a baby. However, as we find out, it's actually a capsule. And there's like a crystal that she puts on it, and then she leaves it on the steps of this church. And then she escapes into the sewer. Inside the capsule is an egg, which then hatches, and there's a human baby inside. Again, I've had some time to process this. I have to accept the wild things this movie does, or it's gonna be a long year. Aforementioned woman is stopped by a man in a military uniform who is called Koopa, and then The structure collapses, and I guess the woman dies. Flash forward again to Brooklyn now, or in 1993. We see this kind of panning shot of the interior of this apartment. There are plungers that are hung on the wall. I don't fully understand that decision for interior design, but I'll accept it. That's fine. We see a man on the telephone who says, I shit you not, Mario Bretta's plumbing, no leak too small. So that's Mario. He's getting work because the Mario Brothers are very broke. They're so broke. Meanwhile, Luigi is watching a television program about someone who reportedly traveled dimensions. And it's just such a classic byproduct of the 90s to watch those kind of, like, weird mystery shows. I grew up on those. I love them. If you want a really great kind of weird show, Jonathan Frakes hosted Beyond Belief, which was a show that presented a series of, I guess, short stories and urban legends, and you had to figure out which one was real and which one was made up by the show's writers. It was delightful. It was wonderful. They always had these wild introductions. The stories themselves were bonkers. They were so off the wall. I remember there was this one where it was like a grandmother taking after her grandchildren, and their father was at war, and he would send them home like packets of powder to make custard, I guess. Is that how you make custard? Am I remembering this correctly? I think so. And so this goes on for a couple months, and one day they get this powder and they start making the custard, and the grandmother notices it's cooking really weird, and then when the kids eat it, they're like, wow, this tastes really funny, and they end up throwing it out. Or perhaps they end up eating it, which is worse, but also maybe what happened. Eventually they get this letter, which apparently had been delayed in the mail, that says that their father had died at war and that his ashes had been sent back to the house and to the family. And then they realize that they made custard out of their father's ashes. That one, I think, was made up. But that's very much the tone of this show, where it's like, oh, what the fuck? I saw that when I was maybe 6 years old, and it scarred me forever. So anyway, if you're looking for a fun new show to watch, or if you're looking to revisit something from your childhood, I highly recommend Beyond Belief, hosted by Jonathan Frakes. It is delightfully weird and funny, and also will scar your children. As I mentioned, the Mario Brothers are broke. They've had some trouble finding work. They are both plumbers. And there's this one great line where Luigi's like, we ain't going broke, Mario. We're already there. But he says it with his face in one of those distinctly 90s toys. It's the one where it's like the, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like the silver beads or rods or whatever that are all really close together, so you can create like an imprint of your hand, or in Luigi's case, your face. I remember them being in like dentist's office and stuff like that when I was a kid. I don't know why they own one. I've never ever seen one in a home, but for some reason John Leguizamo delivers his line through this toy, which I thought was just an inspired acting choice. Also in this scene, Mario drops his boots directly onto Luigi's crotch. Fatality. Was that funny? We also get some exposition via the news and the tabloid that Luigi is reading, which include girls going missing in Brooklyn, and a scientist who turns brains into cheese. One of those things is more important than the other, and I want to believe it's the cheese brain one. So Mario was on the phone earlier because he was getting work. He got a call from someone who had a leak and they needed some plumbers. And so the brothers get into their van and start driving towards this location. Luigi is the one who is driving, and at one point he turns right instead of taking Mario's direction to go left because he has a good feeling about the alleyway. His instincts tell him it'll be faster. And they do get there. I don't know if it was faster. They don't really expound on that. But they do arrive at their destination. But this is very much a theme of this movie, of Luigi just being like, hey, fuck this. I feel in my heart that what I'm doing is right. Also, a very quick side note. Mario and Luigi are dressed in each other's colors in this first chunk of the movie. Luigi's dressed in red and Mario's wearing like a green jacket. For what? Why? Why not just dress them in their colors? We know what their colors are. Why are you doing this to us? Anyways, as it turns out, Scapelli beats them to this job. That rat bastard. If you listened to last week's episode, you would know that Scapelli is sort of their rival, I guess. He's this guy who owns this plumbing company, and he keeps beating them out for jobs, which is why they're going broke. I promise they are good plumbers, they've just had issue getting work. Scapelli also owns a construction company, and this is important because his construction company decided to break ground over the site, which ended up containing dinosaur bones. And so now we're introduced to Daisy, who I missed this last week, but she's a university student digging for dinosaur bones in Brooklyn. Scapelli and Daisy are at odds because Scapelli wants to continue developing on this land, and Daisy obviously wants to continue with her dig. Side note that people start cheering when Scapelli shows up, so I guess he's kind of a minor celebrity in Brooklyn. Scapelli asks who's running the dig, and Daisy says, "I'm in charge here," because she's a girl boss. And then Scapelli answers, "I'm the boss elsewhere," which, a little bit of advice, if you're gonna do a sick burn, don't include the word elsewhere. Kind of trips you up. I don't know about that one. Scapelli then says to Daisy, "You know, a lot of girls have been going missing in Brooklyn. I'd be careful." What does that mean? Was that a threat? That was a threat, right? He's not the one who's taking these women. Why? He just threatened this young woman, right? Am I crazy? Why does he say that? That's so upsetting. Anyways, Daisy's like, no, that sucks. So she decides to go call for more security from the university. And before she leaves, Scapelli, like, gives her like a once over, like he looks her up and down. It's gross. It made my skin crawl. I hate it. Gross. Scapelli, F you, man. You were badly representing Italian Americans and I hate you. So we are then introduced to Iggy and Spike. And let me just walk you through their introduction really fast. Spike shows up. He's sniffing two hot dogs while he's walking back to their car. He says, "They say it's dog." They both throw away the buns. And this whole scene makes no sense the first time you watch it, because you don't know who these guys are or why they're like this. And if you missed last episode, let me tell you, Iggy and Spike are minions of the antagonists of this movie, Koopa. They are tasked with finding Princess Daisy and bringing her back to the Dino Realm, which is a lot of information all at once. But they don't tell you that when you meet them. It's just these two kind of weird looking guys who are like, maybe this is dog, real dog, and they throw away the bread part of the hot dog. Why did they introduce these characters this way? It doesn't make sense. I was lost when I first watched it. Anyway, I'm still lost watching it again. One of them points at Daisy and he's like, "There she is." And the other one says, "Are you sure?" And the first one goes, "Two arms, one head, two legs." Which is true. I hate to point this out, but what the fuck? You also both have two arms, one head, and two legs. Listen, not to be a party pooper, but I feel like y'all could have worked on that joke a little bit more. I feel like there were funnier things to say. And things that didn't make me want to rip my own eyeballs out. Meanwhile, the Mario brothers are driving back from this job that they have unfortunately lost to Scapelli. And the van sounds terrible. So they pull over and pop the hood so that they can take a quicker look at it. It immediately starts smoking. So Mario's like, "I'll work on this. Why don't you check if there's any work?" Meanwhile, Iggy and Spike are following Daisy while she goes to find a phone to call the university. And so there's this moment where Luigi's at the phone trying to find work while Daisy walks up. There is some guy on the phone, and he's like, "Hey, I got a big fucking flood over here. You gotta send people. Bring every plumber you got." I'm paraphrasing, but am I? No. Luigi hangs up the phone. This huge job. He says no, so that he can give the phone to hot girl Daisy. And she doesn't have a quarter, so he gives her a quarter, and it's a cute moment. And then she calls the university for more security. Luigi starts flirting with Daisy, and it's painful. He's not good at this. to the point that Mario has to step in to clarify what he's saying, because he's just rambling. Luigi offers Daisy a ride back to the dig site in their van, and again, I mentioned this last episode. We, as the audience, know that the Mario Brothers are good people. We know they're nice men. But if you are a young woman on the streets of Brooklyn, and two men you just met ask you to get into their van, simply don't do that. It's just a bad call. The statistical likelihood of things being okay is low. Please be safe out there. So they bring Daisy back to her dig site. Luigi again tries to flirt with her. Mario urges him to ask her to dinner. And so Luigi says, "Do you eat?" And Daisy's like, "Yeah." It got a genuine laugh out of me. I thought it was a cute moment. So he does eventually ask her to dinner, and it becomes clear. So then we cut to dinner. Luigi and Daisy are there with Mario and his girlfriend Daniela. Because, as I mentioned, Peach was omitted from this movie. Daisy starts to explain that the reason that she's digging in Brooklyn was because apparently Scapelli blasted into some rock to start construction, and he found iridium, which means that there was a meteorite that hit here in Brooklyn. And Luigi's like, "Whoa, there are dinosaurs in Brooklyn?" And Mario says, "Relax, Luigi. There used to be Dodgers here, too." Hey, there's that good old Brooklyn humor for you. Hey, bada bing, I'm walking here. Daniela is charmed by Daisy, and she offers her free tans at the tanning salon that she owns or works at. It's kind of unclear. But we love to see queens supporting queens. Even though we are in Brooklyn, hey, forget about it. And Daisy reveals that she never takes off the crystal around her neck because she was abandoned, and it's the only thing that she has from when she was found. And she says this so casually and so cheerfully. Mario and Daniela are like, oh, I'm really sorry. And she's like, I was found. I was raised in an orphanage, you know? I was abandoned as a child. It's just so weird the way that she delivers it. Like, I don't know, I'm glad she's comfortable with it, but also, that's kind of big news. Luigi then reveals that he, too, doesn't know who his parents are because he was brought up by Mario. Again, why is this included? I don't fully understand. I feel like they could have done more with this. I would have liked for them to do more with this. I'm disappointed. They then leave the restaurant. Luigi walks Daisy back to her apartment, so Mario and Daniela take the van. Iggy and Spike think that Daniela is now the girl that they're after because it's the same woman. She's just wearing a disguise. Because they're idiots. And also, at this point, the audience still does not know who they are. I just want to point that out. We don't know what's happening. That being said, I do like their dynamic. I think they're kind of fun. So Mario leaves Daniela outside of her apartment and then drives off. And then she gets snatched by the goons. Meanwhile, Daisy and Luigi have decided to go visit the dig site as part of their date. Because that's romantic. And Daisy leads Luigi down into the sewer from It. And then she says that she feels comfortable down there. And I don't care who you are, that's a red flag. Daisy says that they're finding new species down here. She remarks on the opposable thumbs that I mentioned last week. Again, do dinosaurs have opposable thumbs? If you're a paleontologist, please let me know. And then she says that it was like a monster trying to be a human being. Which is a bonkers thing to say about a dinosaur. She says it's beautiful. And then Luigi turns to her and he says, "You're beautiful." I'm throwing up. Then these two guys dash out of the sewers behind them. Turns out they're Scapelli's goons. They've been fucking with the pipes, and now the site is flooding. Ah! So Daisy and Luigi have to run back and get Mario, and then all three of them go back to the dig site to fix the pipes. And then they do, because, again, they're good plumbers. They're just good plumbers. Meanwhile, Iggy and Spike have realized that they still don't have the right girl. And there's this cute little exchange where I think Spike says, 0 for 5, what percent is that? And then Iggy says, I don't know, let me think. I don't know, but it's not good. And it's really funny. Again, I kind of love them. Iggy, quote, senses her. So they eventually, I guess, realize that it is Daisy who they're after. And then they knock out the brothers, and Daisy is taken. The brothers chase after her, and Mario wants to turn back, but Luigi is determined to save his kind of GF, so they keep going. Eventually, they reach this dead end. There's this huge drop-off right in front of them. It's very dangerous. And then they hear Daisy calling out from what seems to be a solid rock, like a rock wall. And then her face appears in its surface. Her top half leans all the way out, and Luigi grabs the crystal from around her neck, and then she's pulled back in. And the brothers, rightly, are like, yo, what the fuck? Luigi, ever impulsive, then gives Mario a little kiss right on top of his head, and then very impulsively jumps right through the rock wall. And he does go through it. And after a moment's hesitation, Mario kind of tumbles in after him. And side note, him falling into this other dimension is so funny to me. It's like the Minecraft Nether that's just green screened behind Bob Hoskins' body spiraling through the air. It was very funny. I like it. They exit through this tunnel into just absolute sensory overload. There's this like stringy yellow gunk coating everything. That's the fungus that we'll talk about later. The streets are bustling with people who all kind of look like the Capitol from The Hunger Games, like just wild fashion and hairstyles and makeup. There are wires sparking constantly. It is not safe to be there whatsoever. And there are signs everywhere that tell you to vote Koopa. So they realize that they must have crossed the river, ergo they must be in Manhattan. Luigi says, I ain't been to Manhattan in a couple of weeks. And Mario says, must have been a bad couple of weeks. That got a laugh out of me. I will say, if there's one thing about this movie, I do really enjoy the banter between Mario and Luigi. I like the way Bob and John play it. I'm gonna call them Bob and John. I feel like we've reached that point. I just think it's cute. Daisy is shoved into a cab by Iggy and Spike, and then the police start pushing Mario and Luigi out of the way, so they lose sight of her. Nothing about this world makes any sense. Some of these people here look half-human at best. They have like scales on their face or stripes or whatever. There's one woman pushing an egg in a stroller, which it seems strange to me. There's no logic to this world, and it drives me up the wall. I don't understand it. Luigi says, maybe we got knocked unconscious for 100 years and woke up in the Manhattan of the future. And Mario says, or maybe the Bronx of today. AIDS. Got him. Go Brooklyn. Anyway. Luigi then says, Mario, I got a feeling we're not in Brooklyn no more. Because clearly this is influenced by The Wizard of Oz. Are you kidding? So much of this is like ripped directly from other movies. We are then introduced to Koopa and Lena. And if you listened last episode, you would know Lena is my favorite character. When I watched this movie this week, I just was so excited every time she came on screen. She truly saves this terrible movie. If she was not here, it would be worse. It would be a worse movie. Does her character really do anything? Kind of no. But I love her, and I'm really glad that she's here. Koopa and Lena are lamenting their lack of resources as compared to the human world. Koopa then coats his hands fully in paraffin wax. For reasons? Koopa walked so Jenna Marbles could run. Also, Lita's dress in this scene is just so good. All of her outfits. I have several notes where it's just like, oh, I love what Lena's wearing. Oh my god, Lena looks great. Because she does. I'm definitely at some point doing an episode just on the costuming in this movie. But Lena's outfits specifically are just fantastic. God, I love her. Koopa says that he needs the rock and the Princess Daisy. And then Lena does this, like, head shake thing, but, like, really fast. It sucked to watch. I didn't understand it. And it's never explained why that happens. Is that something dinosaurs do? Did dinosaurs just, like, shake their heads really, really fast? Like, motion blur? I don't know. Iggy and Spike then show up. Lena says, hello, morons. And Iggy and Spike go, hello! So maybe I love them. Iggy and Spike tell Koopa that the plumbers got away with the meteorite, which he's not happy about, and that he sends out a plumber alert with a huge reward for whoever turns them into the police. Meanwhile, with Mario and Luigi, there's this old woman who's like, oh, it's dangerous in the neighborhood if you don't have a weapon. Do you guys have weapons? And they're like, oh, no, we don't. And then she tries to rob them at gunpoint. She takes the crystal away, and then this large woman dressed in all red, who you may remember from the last episode as Big Bertha, picks her up and throws her off the overpass and onto the highway. There is a multi-car accident, and then Big Bertha puts on the necklace, and then she's wearing these jumpy shoes, and she jumps away. That's a wild scene. Mario and Luigi then meet Toad, who is not a mushroom, he is a man, who's like, hey, cheer up, things could be worse. And he starts singing this song about how bad life is in Dino-Hatton. And then everyone is arrested, Toad for the song, and the Mario Brothers for being plumbers. Plumber rights, that's all I gotta say. Meanwhile, Daisy is shoved into this room with all of the other missing girls from Brooklyn, and there she finds Daniela, Mario's girlfriend, who starts to fill her in that Koopa is looking for a princess from Brooklyn. And again, it's kind of played like, ah, oh, I wonder who the princess is. It's Daisy. We all know. Like, it's... For them, like, building the surprise a little bit, the fact that she's a princess really doesn't factor into the plot that much. They don't explain it almost at all. Aside from the fact that it's mentioned that her dad was king. But they don't do anything with it. It's strange. The brothers are being processed at this police station, and it's revealed. I can't believe I forgot to mention this last week. Their names are Mario Mario and Luigi Mario, because they're the Mario brothers. So their last name is just Mario, which is bonkers. It's insane. I think Mario is a last name in Italy. However, why would you name your child Mario Mario? And also, why did the writers decide this was the best way to resolve that? I don't get it. They're never really referred to as the Mario Brothers in this movie. They could have just skipped over it, and they chose not to, and for that I hate them. But also I kind of love them. It's objectively funny that their names are Mario Mario and Luigi Mario. That's three Marios between two names. That's too many Marios. They're defungused, which is a process kind of exactly what it sounds like. There's, like, liquid dumped on them, and I don't fully understand why this is done. It's never really explained, but they are defungused. Then they're lined up for their mugshot. Luigi looks behind him and he's like, hey, oh, Mario, look, I grew an inch! Which was just really cute. Luigi, I stan you. Luigi is my bias. There's this weird gag where it seems like they're gonna be shot. Like, there's, like, the red dot that centers over each of their foreheads. But then it's just that their picture is taken. So I don't know why they chose to do that way. They are put in a cell right below Toad's, who knows about the alternate dimensions. Apparently it's just common knowledge of this world. Of course the meteor that didn't kill the dinosaurs in this world split the universe into two timelines. Apparently, that's just something everyone knows. Why do they know it and we don't? I don't know. Toad also thinks that the fungus over the city is their old king. And he is right, but it sounds very conspiracy theory-esque. And I want you to remember that this is established here, that Toad says this, because it doesn't make sense for what they do with it for the rest of the movie. Mario and Luigi are then taken to their lawyer, who is definitely Koopa pretending to be their lawyer. Don't really understand why he does this, especially because the audience has seen him and knows who he is. So it's not like this big reveal of like, oh, this is that Koopa guy. No. Maybe it was supposed to be and then there were rewrites done to the script or something. But as it stands, it's just we meet Koopa, who we know is King Koopa, and then, like, a scene later, he pretends to be their lawyer, and then it's revealed again that he's King Koopa, which is interesting. He's also a germaphobe, which I don't fully understand, but it's a plot point several times. I think that's why that he coated his hands in wax earlier. I don't understand the logic of that, but I think that's what it was supposed to signify. So he's here to get the meteorite, obviously. So he asks them about it, and they reply that it was taken from them. And then he just straight up starts, like, jamming his thumbs into Luigi's eyes. It's very violent. I don't understand why they wrote that in. And then Mario tries to get him off of Luigi, and the guard of the room is like, no one touches King Koopa. It's King Koopa. Guess what? It's that guy. He then takes them into the Devo chamber, or the De-Evolution chamber. Toad is de-evolved, as I mentioned last week, into one of the scariest things I've ever seen in a movie, ever. Here's the thing. If you've never seen this movie, I would love for you to pause the episode. If you're driving, pull the car over. Stop driving. This is more important. But please look up what the Goombas look like in this movie, because they are terrifying. But also Toad's kind of cute in a way that I don't fully comprehend. Like, I think watching this movie for a second time, knowing what was happening in the scene, knowing what was about to come, and being able to prepare myself for seeing Toad definitely changed my opinion of what was going on, and allowed me, I guess, to understand, all right, perhaps he has some merit, visually, but it isn't much. And I'm still afraid of him, but he's just kind of cute sometimes. He has like a big goofy smile and these big eyes, and I don't know, it's kind of cute. But only a little bit. He's mostly terrifying. Cooper reveals in the scene that he evolved from T-Rex. And if you look through the movie, you'll notice that he kind of stands like one. Like he kind of tucks his arms in close to his chest and like, his hands point down like a T-Rex's would with their tiny little baby arms. I don't understand. I mean, I guess that was like either a specific direction by like the director or an acting choice by Dennis Hopper, who plays Koopa. I don't understand it though. And I feel like perhaps there were other ways to have him convey his dinosaur heritage, but that's fine. They also, at this point, gave Toad his harmonica back, which is nice. I understand it so that you can differentiate him when they show him in scenes, but it's nice that they give him his instrument. Let him have this one thing. There's this kind of wider shot, and you see this puddle of just green gunk on the floor. That's not established, and I don't fully understand why it's there. The Mario Brothers then, before they are de-evolved back into monkeys, push Koopa into this de-evolution machine and turn it on and then run away. He's only partially de-evolved. And I don't understand the significance of it fully. It doesn't really come back in a way that matters. I feel like they could have cut that part of the scene without losing anything. It doesn't really make sense. But anyway, the Mario Brothers zipline out of this jail. They don't stop to help Their fellow is wrongfully imprisoned. They steal a police car so that they can make their daring getaway. At this point, Luigi calls him Mario Roni. I don't understand that. They then see themselves on the police scanner, and they're called aliens by the guy on the scanner. And Luigi's like, aliens? Well, we gotta deal with aliens too? And then Mario says, Luigi, we're the aliens. So this movie is an allegory for the American immigrant experience. Can I make that joke? At one point, they're bickering about what they should do. And Mario says, all right, you drive. And then he just really lets go of the wheel, which was a bad idea. Because then they ride on top of another car for a second, which was, I guess, a fun movie thing to do. But bad in terms of, like, why would Mario do that? they do come down from this other car. Mario wants to know which way he should go, towards the tunnel or towards the parkway. And Luigi says, oh, the parkway. And so Mario turns towards the tunnel. And then Luigi's like, I wanted the tunnel, but I said parkway because I knew that you'd go the opposite way I suggested. Luigi, you scoundrel, you. The tunnel is not finished. And so as they're going through it, they realize that they're about to just empty out somewhere. And Luigi's like, hey, slow down. And Mario says that there are no brakes in the car. Whew. Which seems like a design flaw for any car. So they shoot out of this tunnel. And they are caught by this very stringy fungus, which saves their lives by catching the car, kind of bungee style. So the car is facing towards the ground, and Luigi and Mario are able to open the car doors and gently lower themselves to the ground. Luigi is catching on that this fungus is actively trying to help them by catching their car, but Mario was skeptical. We then flash to the next scene, where Lina and Koopa are sitting in a mud bath, which I don't really understand. Lina looks so good in this scene. I want to say that about every scene that she's in. She looks so good. Also in this scene, Koopa says, do you know what I love about mud? It's clean and it's dirty at the same time. So I'm not going to unpack that, but feel free to do that on your own time if you'd like. I just don't understand the line. Lina is then sent to go get Daisy. Again, her outfit in this scene is fantastic. Every scene she gets like a different outfit, and this one is just great. So she goes to get Daisy from this room. I think it's the Goomba Barracks where they're keeping all of these women from Brooklyn. And then Lina remarks that Daisy has her mother's eyes. Wrong franchise, Aunt Petunia. You silly goose, you. Then Iggy and Spike in this next scene are put into the Devo machine, but instead of being de-evolved, they continue to evolve just slightly until they become smarter. But it does not work because truly they're still both dumb of ass. They just now know SAT prep words. So is there still a vocab section of the SAT? I don't think there is. In this next scene, we see Daisy, who is now princessed out. She's all dolled up. But also it's 1993, so you can imagine what her hair and makeup looks like. Lina and Daisy have this just really interesting conversation. They're back and forths, and their dynamic is so interesting. I love Lina. Oh my god, she's my favorite character. Meanwhile, Mario and Luigi are now wandering through this desert that they found themselves in. I think it's called the Kupahari Desert. Also, Luigi is shirtless. That has no bearing on the plot. I just felt like it should be mentioned. I will say, the other reason I keep bouncing back and forth between what's happening with Lina and Daisy and Koopa and then what's happening with Mario and Luigi is that the movie does a lot of weird cuts back and forth at kind of random times. Like, they'll interrupt a scene to go check in on, like, Mario and Luigi and then kind of cut back. It isn't always effective, and in fact, now reading it back as I was taking notes during this movie, it is actively confusing, and I'm very sorry that it feels disjointed. It is the movie's fault, not mine. So we see again that Lina is just clearly jealous of Daisy, and especially there's something about Koopa who is apparently attracted to Daisy, and it's gross. And Lena's jealous of this, but I don't know if she's actually, like, in love with Koopa, or if she just wants power. It's a little bit unclear. It's, maybe there's an element of both, because she does want the power, but she seems to dislike Daisy personally on a level that just wouldn't really match up with that. We're then introduced to Yoshi, who is both cute and disturbing at the same time. Koopa and Daisy then meet. It's very creepy. Koopa has this globe next to him that he spins, and we see there is literally one single city and then just desert, and there's nothing else in this world. It is exclusively this Dino Hatton that they're in, and then just a world of nothing. Also, Daisy keeps asking about her father, and the answers keep being comically vague. Like, she's like, she asks Lena, is my father living? And then Lena's like, well, it depends on your definition of living. And then she asks Koopa, where's my father? And he says, oh, he's around. But we already know the twist. The king is the fungus, because that's what Toad said. If you had cut Toad's line, these lines would be a lot more effective. But they aren't, because we already know that... You know what I mean? It's weird. Koopa remarks that Daisy is so fresh and so clean, which is gross. Don't say that to any human being, but also a woman you're trying to woo. It was gross. Anyways, Daisy's a dinosaur. That's what's revealed in the scene, is that she's from this realm. She evolved from the dinos. She herself is a dinosaur. Yeah, that makes sense. Koopa's tongue does this weird thing where it, like, flicks out and gets really long and lizardy and then goes back. It's kind of gross. And then he says, you know what they say about little girls, don't you? They say they never forget the first time they're kissed by a lizard. Which I think I mentioned last episode, but it bears repeating, because what the fuck? He then leans in for a kiss, but his face starts freaking out, I guess because he was partially de-evolved. And Daisy runs away and then is taken back to her room by Toad the Goomba. Cutting back to the desert, Iggy and Spike find the Mario Brothers. And side note, I'm convinced that this desert scene is absolutely a Star Wars set. It just looks so similar to the desert where Luke finds Obi-Wan. It has to be the same. It has to be the same. I'm convinced. Iggy and Spike dream team reveal that the portal between dimensions was blocked off until recently, when someone on the human side blasted it open again, and Mario realizes it's Scapelli. So Iggy and Spike and the Mario brothers decide to collaborate so that Iggy and Spike can get the rock and the brothers can rescue Daisy. Which is mutually beneficial and a good idea. However, it was simply never going to work out for Iggy and Spike, because they would have also needed Daisy, because that's what Koopa wants. So I guess it wasn't that great of an idea. It was only good for Mario and Luigi. Sorry, Iggy and Spike, you are still dumb. Mario and Luigi revealed that this meteorite was stolen by this large woman who Iggy and Spike recognize as Big Bertha, the bouncer at the Boom Boom Bar. Okay. Meanwhile, back at the tower, Yoshi is now being kept in Daisy's room, exclusively so that they can have sweet interactions. And they are sweet. It's kind of cute. Again, you may have heard me mention last episode that Yoshi is a hyper-realistic dinosaur. He is cute, in a way. However, don't think of him as the Yoshi from the Mario franchise that you know, or your brain will implode. But he is kind of cute, and I like their interactions. They're very sweet. So they go to this Boom Boom Bar, I guess, is this club. Luigi and Mario have changed out of these outfits that they've been wearing for the first half of the movie into these suits. Still not in the right colors, though. Luigi's in red and Mario is in yellow. Luigi says, isn't this a little bit feminine? And I think it's Iggy who says, yeah, I know, it was my ex-wife's. Okay. Side note, though, Luigi does look fantastic. Good for him. So they check in their tools at the coat check, and the woman there sees them on this poster hanging on the wall and then calls the cops on them. Meanwhile, Iggy and Spike head straight for the bar, as they should, and they start preaching about the downfall of Koopa, because now they are smart, which means they're anti-establishment. They now have to figure out a way to get the meteorite back from Big Bertha. So Mario tries to flirt with her, and she punches him in the face, as she should. So Luigi's like, hey, come on, like, we gotta get this. And Mario's like, all right, I know what to do. He walks back up to her, and he says, excuse me, will you hit me again? Somehow this works, and they start dancing together. While they're dancing, Mario is just clearly trying to get the meteorite from her in a way that there's no way that she doesn't know or notice what he's trying to do. At one point, he takes... Oh, God, it's so gross. He takes the crystal into his mouth, like he tries to bite it off of her. It's very uncomfy. I didn't like it. But anyways, he succeeds, and he leaves her out on the dance floor. She looks around for a second. It's kind of sad. Then Lena shows up as they start playing Everybody Walk the Dinosaur. Her outfit, as always, is fantastic. There's this moment where Luigi and Mario basically do a football play in order to try to keep this crystal from Lena. It's kind of cute. I liked that little detail. Unfortunately, they do lose the rock. It drops to the floor of this club, where Lena picks it up, so now she is in possession of the crystal. Luigi and Mario decide to cut their losses and just head out, and Big Bertha stops them at the door. And then she turns, and she punches the woman at the coat check. And she says, come in here. And she closes and locks the door, and she gives them two pairs of the jumpy shoes that she was wearing earlier, that she used to get away with the meteorite. She then kisses Mario, which I mentioned last week, and I still don't understand why. Again, Mario has a steady girlfriend in Daniela. What's happening? Anyways, the brothers put on her jumpy shoes, and then they bounce out. The fungus bestows upon them a bob-omb, and Luigi grabs it. And then they're surrounded by Goombas, so they decide to jump in the back of a garbage truck that's passing under them. And they ride that all the way to the tower. Truly nothing happens for the next two scenes, which are Koopa going into this room where there is a throne and this huge mass of fungus over it that Koopa is trash-talking. It's pretty fucking funny. And then, in the next scene, Koopa orders a pizza. So that's what's happening in his neck of the woods. Let's cut back to Mario and Luigi. They sneak into the basement of this tower. And Mario's like, oh, look at this. It's a plumber's nightmare. These pipes haven't been serviced for years. And Luigi says, must have been a non-union job. Which is so funny. I laughed out loud. I had to pause the movie. They decide to close all the valves on the pipes so that the heating will stop and the building will get super cold. It's not really clear why they do this. I guess it's used later, but they wouldn't have had the foresight to do it now. There's no real reason, but they do it. And then finally, at 1 hour and 6 minutes into this film, we finally see the brothers in their correct colors, with Luigi in green and Mario in red. I don't know why it takes so long. This is the third act of the film, and then we see them in their colors. We could have been doing this the entire time. There's no reason why we shouldn't be. It's very upsetting. Anyway, Lena then narcs on Iggy and Spike for preaching about Koopa's downfall in this club, and for being communists, I guess, because the Red Scare never truly ended. American McCarthyism lives today. and it's, you know, Iggy calls Koopa a fascist, Spike says he's not with the proletariat, because of course not, and then they're taken away. Lena then offers to help Koopa. She urges him to let her in on his plan, and he just straight up turns her down, which is redonkulous, because first of all, she is the smartest person in this entire movie, and secondly, she has the meteorite, so she decides to take matters into her own hands. In this next scene, Mario and Luigi are standing in this elevator, and some Goombas start entering. And in order to sneak through without being caught, the brothers make them start dancing to the elevator music, which doesn't really make sense. I guess it's a cute scene. They, like, Luigi, like, comes up behind one of the Goombas and starts, like, swaying him to the music. And then eventually they, like, pair off. It's kind of cute. I don't fully understand it, but I'm not against it. Meanwhile, Toad brings Daisy this just raw-ass meat. It is red. And Daisy's like, oh, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat anything with a face. Genuinely, she says that. And then she's like, is there any chance I could get some steamed vegetables? And Toad nods and he goes to get her some, which is really cute. I just hate looking at him. Lena then enters. She looks so fucking good. Oh my god. She then pulls a knife on her, on Daisy, and she says, everyone deserves what they've earned, and I've earned this. Which is really interesting. I just wish that they expanded on this character motivation. Unfortunately, in this third act of the film, they just totally drop Lena as a character. And I wish that they used her better because there's so much she could have done. Like, honestly, at this point, I have no attachment to Koopa. Kill Koopa off. Make Lena the true antagonist. That would have been such an interesting movie. But they don't do that. And I'm sad about it. Anyways, Yoshi uses his trademark long tongue to grab Lena's ankle and trip her, which allows Daisy to get away. And then Lena stabs Yoshi right in the side with her dagger. And it's really sad. Please leave Yoshi alone. Daisy, making her dashing escape, runs into Toad, who really did bring her steamed veggies. And it was so cute. She then finds Iggy and Spike, who are captured, and the Goombas with them try to shoot Daisy. And then they accidentally set Toad on fire. But Daisy goes back to help him, and it's a really sweet moment. So Iggy and Spike help Daisy because apparently they used to work under her father. So they take her to this throne room that Koopa was in earlier, and it is confirmed that the fungus is her father, which begs so many logistical questions, such as, was her dad from mushrooms? What does that make Daisy? Is she half dinosaur, half mushroom? These questions are never answered, but I would like them to be. Iggy and Spike make an ordered retreat, which leaves Daisy alone with her dadgus. And then we cut back to Mario and Luigi, who find that the only way forward is for them to jump down the super high shaft. So Luigi, ever impulsive, jumps first, and he thinks that he's flying, but actually a hook catches on his belt, and whoopsie, Mario is already jumping. Yikes, yikes-a-rooney, it's okay. The fungus catches him, it bounces him back up. Luigi grabs his hands. There's this really cute line where it's like, I'd high-five you, but then you'd be an only child. And I liked that. That was cute. Cutting back to the throne room, Yoshi is now present. Daisy removes the knife from his side, and she takes his chains off of him. She then starts messing with the comms machine that's in the room, and she manages to contact Mario and Luigi. But yikes! Koopa also sees the message, and he now knows that Daisy has escaped from her room and that Mario and Luigi are inside the building. Three-way calls just get so messy. Mario is still skeptical of Luigi's assertion that the fungus is helping them. But we, as the audience, already know that the fungus is the king. Like, we already know that it's sentient and would help the plumbers. So what is the point of Mario continuing to be skeptical about this? Koopa then finds out that Lena has gone rogue, and deduces that she has the rock, so he just really messed up on all counts here. The brothers find Daisy in this throne room, and she introduces them to her King Fungus dad. She's then like, oh, have you found Daniela? And Mario's like, oh my god, I was supposed to take Daniela to WrestleMania! And Daisy's like, oh, whoop, nope. So Mario did not know that Daniela was taken, and he goes to find her. He runs out of the room. A second later, Daisy and Luigi run out, and they run right into Koopa and a bunch of Goombas. So that was a bad move. We then cut to Lena. Again, this movie moves so fast between so many characters. She's wearing red. It's a great look for her. Hachimachi. The police capture her and then take the rock. Meanwhile, back to Mario. Wow. too many groups. The women from Brooklyn are freezing their tushies off in the Goomba barracks. Because again, Mario and Luigi decided to make the whole building cold for some reason. So Mario goes in to save them. He tries to do it all sneakily, but then one of the girls just totally blows his position. But it's fine. He ends up just using force, knocking the Goombas out. Sometimes the best stealth is making sure there are no guards to say anything. He's then like, hey, grab one of the mattresses. And he takes the grate off of this huge pipe in the wall, like comically large. And then they go mattress surfing. And it's kind of fun. I guess this is why they froze the pipes, like the narrative reason for it. But again, he didn't know he was going to do this. There are some Goombas chasing them, but they managed to lose them. And then they ride their mattress right out onto a sidewalk, and somehow they're all fine, despite the fact that it was quite the drop. None of them are hurt. And also, Daisy and Luigi and Koopa are also here, because at some point, they're all moved out onto the streets of Dinohattan. I don't know when, I don't know why, I'm confused. You may remember that Koopa ordered a pizza, which was apparently just a totally irrelevant subplot, because it goes nowhere, because he ignores that the pizza's there. It's Chekhov's pizza. If you're gonna order a pizza, have someone eat the pizza, right? I'm mad and sad about this lack of pizza in this movie. 0 out of 10, no pizza. Daisy and Luigi had been handcuffed together, so they try to get out of that. Meanwhile, Mario and Koopa start going head to head. At some point, Koopa drops the rock, and Lina, who happens to be below him, catches it, and then she gets electrocuted. Rest in peace, Queen. She's fine, but she does get this fun little like white streak in her hair. It's kind of a look for her. Wish they'd given that to her sooner. Mario takes this opportunity to fake Koopa out by making him believe that he has the rock, which distracts him long enough for Luigi and the woman to make their getaway. Lina beelines to the meteor crash site, and she tries to use the rock herself to merge the two dimensions. Meanwhile, Mario pulls out this bob-omb that the fungus had given them earlier, and he sets it going, and it starts very slowly making its way towards Koopa before it falls off the bridge that they're on. So that went well. But it continues to tumble down the fungus, and then it waddles forward. And it has a very short wick that's burning real slow. Luigi and Daisy and the other women from Brooklyn catch up with Lina at the meteor crash site, where the women are all sent through the rock wall back to Brooklyn. And Lina cannot handle the power of the meteorite, and she is literally fried and thrown against a wall. Luigi says, man, she sure makes an impression. Which, woof, not the time or place, my man. My favorite character just died. But Daisy and Luigi then have to try to stop the merging of dimensions while Mario and Koopa continued fighting, which means that the dimensions are currently merging. So Mario and Koopa materialize in the human dimension. And the way that they do this is making them, like, blow apart like dust. Super Mario Brothers walked so Infinity War could run. Luigi starts using his tools to pry the meteorite from its place in, like, this meteor and its little indentation. Meanwhile, in human Brooklyn, Koopa's tower materializes right where the World Trade Center is. And I would like to remind you that it is 1993. Let's just say that here, as we are now, in a post 9/11 world, seeing the Twin Towers fall apart like that in real time is in very bad taste. It did not age well at all. So Koopa, Koopa then grabs the de-evolution gun. Which I guess I still didn't mention. I promise it does pop up before this. I think it's just mentioned so quickly I didn't write it down. There is a de-evolution gun, so you can Devo on the go. But he grabs it and then de-evolves Scapelli, who is standing right there, into a monkey. Whoop. And then everyone starts laughing, because fuck a capitalist, I guess. And real quick side note, that does not get fixed. He just stays a monkey forever. That's the end of Scapelli's arc. He's a monkey now. Cool. Daisy and Luigi do end up dislodging the rock, which sends Koopa and Mario back to the Dino Realm. Koopa then orders for the Goombas there to get Mario and to devolve him. But Toad starts playing a waltz on his harmonica, and all of the Goombas start to dance. And so they don't obey because they're too busy dancing and having a good time, which is kind of cute. Also a really weird way to use that plot point. But I guess Big Bertha then shows up as Luigi and Daisy are coming back. She gives Luigi the jumpy shoes, and it's a really like sweet kind of ally moment where she like nods at him and gives him a smile, and it's really sweet. The Ba-Bomb, meanwhile, has made its way to the bottom of this bridge they're standing on. It is walking upside down underneath them. Luigi jumps over to where Mario is using his bouncy shoes. They grab Devo guns from Goombas, and then they start to de-evolve Koopa. And then the Ba-Bomb goes off, blasting a mostly dino Koopa sky high and into this hanging, I guess, vat or bucket that's big enough to hold him. And they're like, ah, I think we did it. And then boom, out of this vat bursts this T-Rex. As was mentioned, Koopa evolved from a T-Rex, which means that when you de-evolve him enough, to that form he shall return. But they continue to de-evolve him until he melts into primordial sludge. Sorry, bestie. They then jump back off over to the street where Daisy and the rest of the people are. I didn't notice until right now that the shoes work by clicking the heels together. Hello, Wizard of Oz. Welcome back. People are dancing in the streets now that Koopa is dead. Apparently, people hated having him as a dictator, I can imagine. The king re-evolves back into a person, into a man. I don't know what catalyzes this. No one else re-evolves. All of the Goombas remain Goombas. Why? He also has this really cute line where he's like, ugh, love those plumbers. Yep, it's cute. I like it. I don't know what to say. It's time now for the brothers to go home, so they make their way down to the meteor site with Daisy, who is staying behind, which is the absolute right move, but it's kind of sad. Daisy and Luigi share their movie kiss. Side note, she is a girl boss, and she is making the correct choice, and I'm very proud of her for not going back to the human realm just to follow a man. They also show this wider shot of this, I guess, like, below ground chamber where the meteor hit. Lena's skeleton is still embedded in the wall. No one's gonna remove that, I guess. But the Mario brothers go back home to Brooklyn, and Daisy and Toad and Yoshi see them off. Side note again, but are they gonna re-evolve the Goombas anytime soon? Like, they still have the evolution technology, and it is a hypothetically reversible process. Is that something that they're going to prioritize doing? Or are they just going to live as these awful lizard monsters their whole lives? I don't know. Too many questions from this movie. We then flash forward to 3 weeks later. Daniela is over at the brothers' apartment. And the Mario brothers are on the same TV program that Luigi was watching at the start of the movie. It all comes full circle. Suddenly, Daisy's here. And she looks hot as hell, and she's, like, holding a gun, and she's like, you gotta go, there's trouble. And I've been avoiding doing research on this movie, at least for these first couple episodes, so I can just kind of formulate my own opinion of the movie. But I did read that apparently this ending was directly ripped from Back to the Future. And yeah, that scans. That makes absolute sense. Of course it was. So then we get the post-credit scene. Again, Super Mario Brothers influenced Marvel in ways that run deeper than any of us can know. And these two Japanese businessmen are pitching this video game based on Iggy and Spike's adventures called Super Koopa Cousins. And I don't know, it's kind of nice. I'm glad that they were okay. Maybe Lena's my favorite character. Maybe they're numbers 2 and 3 respectively. I don't know. But that is the end of the movie. It is such a wild ride, and I'm kind of coming around to it, I think. I Last week when I watched it, I was just confused. But today, it was a little bit better. I think I am liking it. Maybe this is a weird Stockholm Syndrome kind of thing. I hope not. Ooh, that would be scary. But I do like it. Still can't recommend it in good conscience for anyone to watch for leisure. But I did like it. As always, at the end of every episode, I will give you a non-Mario movie recommendation so that you can know and judge my music taste outside of this terrible podcast. And this week, I'm going to have to recommend Edward Scissorhands, which I watched for the first time on my birthday, and I really liked it. Tim Burton directed, Johnny Depp and Winona Ryder starred. It's just really fun, and I like the vibes of it. I like the writing. I think it's just really well done. It did make me cry. The ending is so sad. I just sat there with like tears in my eyes. But it is absolutely a classic. And the second episode is dropping mid-October. So if you're looking for a fun kind of Halloween-y movie to watch, it's a classic. Go check out Edward Scissorhands. Hey, thanks a whole lot for listening to this episode. Thank you so much for your patience with me putting out this episode a little bit late. I promise I'm going to try my best so that that does not happen again. And the third episode will be out this Friday. So you can look forward to that. That does mean that I'm watching this movie twice in a week. So if you would like to check in on my psyche, you can follow us on Twitter at BummerPod, or you can write to us at PlumberBummerPodcast@gmail.com. I love getting fan mail. I think it's so fun. So please, 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 please feel free to write in and just say hi if you'd like. I'd really appreciate it. If you've enjoyed the show and you want a way to support us directly, you can donate at ko-fi.com/plumberbummer. That's ko-fi.com/plumberbummer. Or you can click the link at the end of the show notes and support us on Anchor. Anything that you can spare is so greatly appreciated. Also, if you like what you hear, consider telling your friends about the show. We don't pay for advertising, so the only way that we can get our name out there is by word of mouth. So if you know someone that you think would really like the show, maybe they're a Super Mario Brothers 1993 super fan, maybe they've never seen it, but they want a new podcast to start, make sure you send them our way. We really appreciate it. Also, if you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It's really, really nice of you to do, and it helps people find the show, so you'd be doing us a huge solid. Thank you again for listening, and as Mario would say, Wahoo!
Let's go!